ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ
ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ನಿತ್ಯ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಗೌರಂಗ. ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಟಿಕಿ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು 10 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 2 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 41. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ last but one verse is the prayers of the demigods at the end of the chapter after that. So text 41.
Dishtam vyate kukshigata para puman amshe nashakshad bhagavan bhavayanah ಮಾ ಭೂತ್ ಭಯಂ ಭೋಜಪತೇರ್ ಮುಮೂರ್ಷೋ ಗೋಪ್ತಾ ಯದೂನಾಂ ಭವಿತಾ ತವಾತ್ಮಜಃ ದಿಷ್ಟ್ಯಾಂ ವತೆ ಕುಕ್ಷಿಗತಃ ಪರಪುಮಾನ್ ಅಂಶೇನ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಭವಾಯನಃ ಮಾ ಭೂತ್ ಭಯಂ ಭೋಜಪತೇರ್ ಮುಮೂರ್ಷೋರ್ ಗೋಪ್ತಾ ಯದೂನಾಂ ಭವಿತಾ ತವಾತ್ಮಜಃ दिष्ट्याम्बते कुक्षिगतः परपुमान् अंशेन साक्षाद् भगवान् भवायनः मा भूद्भयं भोजपतेर्मुमूर्षो गोप्ता यदूनां भविता तवात्मजः दिष्ट्याम्बते को दिष्ट्याम्बते कुक्षिगतः परपुमान् अंशेन साक्षाद् भगवान् भवायनः Dishtya, by fortune. Amba, O mother. Te, your. Kukshigataha, in the womb. Paraha, the supreme. Puman, personality of Godhead. Amshena, with all his energies. His parts and parcels. Sakshat, directly. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhavaya, for the auspiciousness. Naha, of all of us. Ma abhut, never be. Bhayam, fearful. Bhojapatehe, from Kamsa, king of the Bhoja dynasty. Mumursho, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Gopta, the protector. Yadunam, of the Yadu dynasty. Bhavita, will become. Tavaatmajaha, your son. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. O Mother Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, with all His plenary portions such as Baladev, is now within your womb. Therefore, you need not fear Kamsa, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Your eternal son Krishna will be the protector of the entire Yadu dynasty. Purport. The words Parah Puman Amshena signify that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the verdict of the Shastra. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Thus the demigods assured Devaki, quote, your son is the supreme personality of Godhead and he is appearing with Baladev, his plenary portion. He will give you all protection and kill Kamsa, who has decided to continue his enmity towards the Lord and thus be killed by him, end quote. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sandhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, I guess welcome back from all the touring and traveling and incidentally I've been listening to this verse, so when I got a text from Subal Prabhu that you're speaking on this, I actually became very happy. And this morning as I got up and I was contemplating on the verse, I actually felt, I don't know how to explain it, like a surge of thrill, I guess, or happiness. I can't explain why, it was just a very fascinating verse for me. This is the concluding verse of the prayers of the demigods. So they have, generally, when some prayers are made, the beginning is a particular glorification. The middle is the description of the qualities and activities of the Lord. And generally toward the end is either a desire or an expression of some benediction that is being requested. So there are prayers that are of different types depending upon the time in which they are offered. For example, the demigods went to the milk ocean and they offered prayers through Lord Brahma, and those prayers were we're feeling burdened, we're feeling very encumbered, such that Bhumi Devi, to whom we all have a particular service relationship with, is under severe distress of the burden of Kamsa's military forces. Please, we need your help. That's one sort of category of prayers. And this another category of prayers is when the Lord actually has demonstrated or performed some activities that fulfills those prayers. And the feelings and emotions are different in one sense. At this time, it's not like, oh, please protect us, but oh, how wonderful, he's already come. So we're feeling very confident, we're feeling jubilant, we're feeling excited, a whole new adventure is going to unfold. We're going to witness the killing of Kamsa. So there is a sense of thrill, there is confidence, there is jubilation. This is these prayers from verses 13 onwards, I think, have that tone. And another is that this last verse is a summation of the previous verses, prayers that they offered. And I'll show you, I think. So the first one, it says, Dishtyamba. Dishtya means by some amazing fortune. There are different types of fortune. One fortune you get
when you have done something, not you, but when we have done something and we get something in return, like a fortune of piety. I follow certain dharmic rules and I get something out of it. That's one kind of fortune. If I'm kind to someone, I get kindness back. If I'm generous, I'm charitable, I get abundance of economic benefit back again. If I am, if I speak sweetly to someone, sweet speech in turn comes back. This is karmic laws. That's one kind of fortune. This is a sort of a cause and effect. Then there is another kind of fortune. You do something small, but you get something big in return. We offer some tiny service to Krishna, and some what we call huge reciprocation comes. Whatever it is, you know. For different people, it's different. For each person, the magnitude of it looks different. For example, for a very simple-hearted person, let's say they get a garland or mahaprasad from the altar or from the spiritual master or someone that they look up to, then that itself is like, wow, for what reason? I haven't done anything. Or just that Prabhupada would say to his disciples, thank you very much. And that was like unbelievably huge, that Prabhupada even acknowledged that he noticed my insignificant servant. So I did very little, but I got a lot in return. That's another kind of fortune. Then there is that fortune that you haven't really done anything. That's how the devotee feels. I haven't really done anything, but I've got a windfall. We call it causeless mercy. So in this case, Devaki in this life really hasn't desired, but previous lives there was a desire, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, shows up as her son. Now what kind of fortune could that be, that the Personality of Godhead himself? So the demigods are saying, dishtya, by fortune. Now, this fortune is one that you can't describe why it is coming. So first they start with that, dishtya. And they say Amba, mother. Now the demigods don't have a motherly relationship with her. She's not their mother per se. But because she's carrying the mother, she's carrying the father, mother and grandfather of entire creation, she becomes a mother in a universal way. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Mata Dhata Pitahamasya Jagatah. I am the father, mother and grandfather of this entire creation. So one who is the mother of such a personality then becomes a universal mother, if you will. So they are calling her Dishta Amba. And Kukshigata Paraha Puman Amshena. Kukshigata means one who is now residing or entered or staying in your womb. And who is this? Paraha Puman, the transcendental personality. And Amshena Sakshat Bhagavan. And he's not just a plenary portion, but he is the complete, absolute truth personality of Godhead with all his energies, all his expansions together with him. Bhagavan Swayam. So Prabhupada says that the Bhagavatam stands on the, what's called the Paribhasya Sutra, the very pivotal verse. The pivotal verse is Ete Chamsha Kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridhayanti Yuge Yuge. That verse is so critical that the theme is there throughout the Bhagavatam. Whenever Indra and the demigods are in distress, the Lord appears to help them. So this is also the demigods are saying, he has come again. Bhagavan Swayam has appeared for Indrari Vyakulam. Indra Ari, all those who are enemies of Indra or causing Indra distress. So Kamsa is such a person. So that verse is so accurate and so wonderfully descriptive of Krishna that the demigods are also saying the same. So the first part is where they're speaking to Devaki. Dishtya Amba Kukshigata Parapuman Amshena Bhagavan Sakshat. Sakshat means, Prabhupada writes, Sakshat means directly. Sa Akshat, directly. Sa means with, Akshat means with your eyes. So Sakshat means you can see for sure that this is the person. You're witnessing. We know certain truths by hearing. For example, some of you went to Gita Nagari, some of you went to Sadhu Sangha. I can be told by someone, oh, they went to Sadhu Sangha, they went to Gita Nagari. And I can actually see you sitting in the car and going, it's Sakshat, I'm witnessing it. So when he says Sakshat Bhagavan, means you can understand that directly this is the personality of Godhead. The word Kukshigata has some description, but that's in tomorrow's verse, so I don't want to take away the thunder from whoever is speaking tomorrow, but there are other wonderful things there. So that's the first part of the sentence. They're telling her. And then they say, now that he has appeared, here are things that are going to happen. And verse 18, let's look at that. And you'll see all those words are coming true. There you go. Text 18. He says, Tato Jagan Mangalam Achyuta Amsham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, accompanied by all His plenary portions, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. And this verse says, is now in your womb. The question is, when did he go to the womb? Is he in the mind? That's tomorrow's verse. But the word here is Achyuta Amsham. And here the word is Amshena Shakshat Bhagavan. So it's consistent. Prayers have to be consistent. Consistent means you can't change gears in the middle of the prayers. Second, he says Jagan Mangalam. One who is auspicious for the entire world. So here the word now is, second line, last two words, Bhavayanaha. He has come for making us all auspicious, or for all our auspiciousness. Naha means for us, unto us, or we. Bhavaya. Lord Shiva is also called Bhavaya, one who is auspicious. So Lord Krishna has appeared in Devaki's womb for making the demigods auspicious. How? Because now they will witness his activities. Bala Leela. They will see him as a child playing in the backyard of Yashoda and Nanda. That's such an auspicious thing to see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, play in the background. They've never seen something like that. It is too fascinating to be able to witness Krishna's playful childhood pastimes, where he is rolling in the mud of Vrindavan, yanking on calves and cows' tails, little kid taking the stick and taking the cows out for grazing, stealing butter, of course, and killing demons. That's the excitement always. But now it's like the whole world is going to be auspicious because Krishna is now going to step or put his foot or footsteps on Mother Earth. The whole idea is they're all feeling the burden of what pain Mother Earth is going through, Bhumi Devi. So now they're excited. He's going to place his feet on her. And there cannot be anything more amazing. Because Krishna's feet are very, very, very powerful. They can relieve a person of all distress, all pain, all sadness, all moroseness, fear, lamentation, anything. I'm inspired to tell you a story. It was unplanned, but I'll tell you. In Ramayana, so there is Valmiki Ramayana, that is the main original poem. And then in India, different sampradayas and different personalities who were very empowered did their rendition of Ramayana. So in South India, there is something called Kamba Ramayana. It's in a language of Tamil. Kamba was a great poet and he did amazing rendition of Ramayana. Then there is something called Adhyatma Ramayana. The Sri Vaishnavas follow that quite a bit. Then there is, in South India, there is another version of Ramayana. And then the more famous one is Ramcharitamanas by Tulsidas. So they're all sourced from Valmiki Ramayana, but their individual inspirations and realizations of their understanding of Lord Ramachandra is in all these, auxiliary Ramayanas. Now they're fascinating stories. In Tulsi Ramayana, there is one particular story that is both humorous but also nice. So the scene is that Lord Ramachandra with Sita and Lakshmana have come to the river that they have to cross to go to Chitrakoot. They are officially leaving Ayodhya and going to Chitrakoot. On the other side of the river is Chitrakoot, on this side is Ayodhya. So they have to cross the river. So they need help, they need a boat to cross over. So that whole place, Chitrakoot, is ruled over by a tribal person by the name Guha. Guha is the king. And he has a friendship with Lord Ramachandra. They have Sakhya Ras, which means they have known each other previously as well. Because all these kings are, in one sense, under the emperor being Dasharatha Maharaj. So when they come to the bank of the river, Guha with a boatman brings a boat and invites the Lord, please step in with Sita Devi and Lakshman so we can cross. So as Lord Ram is about to step into the boat, the boatman says, go, hold on a second. I don't think you can step into my boat. So everyone's a little shocked. Like, who would object to Lord Ramachandra's stepping in? So Lord Ramachandra asks, what is the reason? He said, no. I've heard many stories that your lotus feet are a little dangerous. So he said, dangerous in what way? He said, oh, they have a certain mystical power. When they touch a stone, it turns into a woman. You know the story of stone turning into a woman? This is Gautama Rishi had cursed his wife Ahalya. So different Ramayanas have different versions. In the Valmiki Ramayana he says, since you are so beautiful and Indra was overcome by this lust and you participated in it, from now on you will remain in this place unseen by anyone. You will not be visible to anyone. Other Ramayanas say that you will be like a stone, pretty much unseen because no one pays attention to stones. The only time that you will come back to your actual beautiful form is when Sri Ramachandra steps his foot into this ashram. Until then, live like this for thousands of years. So he says, oh, your lotus feet, as soon as it touched a stone, it became into a woman. If you touch my boat, what if that becomes into a woman? I already have one wife, I'm unable to handle her. Now two? I don't want. So Lord Ramachandra in one sense laughs. Then he says, so what is the solution? He said, the reason that your feet are so powerful is because that dust that is there has some mystical potency. So I have an idea. I want to wash your feet in such a way that all the dust is taken away. So Lord Ramachandra laughs and said, all right. So this man brings Ganges water, takes Lord Ramachandra's feet, thoroughly washes it, takes the water, drinks it, and says, oh, nothing happened to me. I did not turn. So I think this is safe. He gives it to his wife, looks, oh, nothing happened. This is safe. Now you can step into my boat. So you see how devotees are cunning. So he steps in. So they're rowing the boat. So Sita Devi feels, you know, the poor boatman is very poor. He doesn't have enough money. We should compensate him. You pay a fare. You pay a ticket, right? You pay a fare. So she takes out this beautiful, magnificent, expensive ring and tells Lord Ramachandra, please pay the fare to him. So Lord Ramachandra gives him the ring. And the boatman says, what's this ring for? Oh, this is a fare. I'm paying you to take me to the other side. The boatman says, people who are in the same profession don't take things from each other. For example, if I am a cloth tradesman and you are also a cloth tradesman and I'm falling short of cloth, I will not take money from you. I will take the cloth from you and I will return it, but I will not take money. But if you and I have different professions, then we exchange money. But those who are in the same profession, they don't take money from each other. So Lord Ramachandra was a little startled. I am Kshatriya, personality of Godhead. You are a boatman. How do we have the same profession? Come on. So I said, in what way do we have the same profession? This is too loud. It's reverberating. In what way do we have the same profession? The boatman says, my job is to take people from this side of the river to that side of the river. Okay? And your job is, after this lifetime, you take the devotees from this side of the Viraja River to that side of the Viraja River. So I'm a boatman and so are you. So both have the same profession. How can I take money from you? Lord Ramachandra laughed. So the lotus feet of the Lord are very, very powerful, and now they're excited. Wow, he is going to step and walk around this whole place. So, bhavaya naha. So, four things are there in this verse. Okay, the first is what it does to the demigods, what it does to Devaki, Krishna's appearance, to the demigods, to Devaki, to Kamsa, and to the Yadus. So, for the demigods, they say, bhavaya naha, your appearance is for our auspiciousness. We become auspicious by witnessing your pastimes. Second, they tell her, ma abhut bhayam. For Devaki, fear is going to end. Because Krishna's lotus feet are also called abhaya charanaravinda. So you are saying to her, no need to fear anymore. And as far as the fate of Kamsa, Krishna's lotus feet represent death. Mumurshoho means he has decided that he wants to die. The question is, how can someone decide they want to die? No one decides. What it means is, Kamsa has been so foolish that he is inviting his own death. That's what it means. Mumursho is inviting his own death. He has decided, I will do things by which I am inviting my death. And four, he says, Gopta Yadunam. Protection of the Yadu dynasty. This protection of the Yadu dynasty has two meanings, of course. One is, if there are no progeny beyond, because Kamsa was killing everyone, the Yadu dynasty is under threat that it will not continue. And every king has this concern, how the dynasty should continue. Chitraketu's lamentation, although he was very attached, one of the reasons was, how will the
lineage continue. It's important. You have to have a king. When Vena was there, they put him at least like, someone is better than nobody. And after Vena was killed, everyone was concerned. What to do? How will the lineage continue? When Vichitravirya and Chitrangada were killed, Satyavati was concerned. How will the lineage continue? So Vyasadeva was invited, right? When Ashwatthama cursed Apandavasyat, let there be no Pandava, and he released the Brahmastra, Uttara came running to Krishna. There is this child in my womb, and if he is going to die, what will happen to the Pandava lineage? And we need to continue. So great Kshatriyas are very concerned how the lineage will continue. So Gopta means protector, to make sure that the lineage will continue. That's one. And then second is the protector. He is the one who is going to nourish them by being in their line. Krishna is called Yadava because of the greatness of King Yadu. He was such an amazing king that Krishna decided, I will be born in his line. Like in the other line, there is Raghu dynasty, there is a king Raghu. Krishna was so pleased with that king, he said, I will be born in this line. So he is called Raghava, Lord Ramachandra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided, I will appear in Madhvacharya's line. So Gopta Yadunam. So that's the four categories of persons who will be blessed by Krishna's appearance. So in a practical way for all of us as a practitioner, when Krishna's appearance in the heart begins to manifest, all four things are experienced. One, according to Rupa Goswami, Klesha Ghani and Shubhada, auspiciousness begins and distress ends. So those two are here. Shubhada, where they say Bhavaya Naha. A person's life becomes auspicious. And Rupa Goswami explains how auspiciousness, there are three things about auspiciousness. One, good qualities manifest. Second, there's a general sense of everything seems amazing. Happiness. And Klesha Ghani, all the distresses are burnt. And that is this Kamsa's Bhojapatur Mumushoho. Those dark things, things that distressed us, the internal and the external, mostly the internal, they start dying. And ma abhut bhayam, one becomes free from fear. Fear is when whatever person has above their head as shelter, whatever they have under their feet as a steady floor, when we realize that actually that is unsteady. Most people don't realize that it is unsteady. But when the realization comes, oh my gosh, I'm actually standing on very, very soft ground, or the one roof above my head is not going to protect me. Right? What is the one that is above one's head? The shelter? One's education, one's money, one's relatives, one's abilities. These are the shelters for a person, and they think that I can tread through life if I have any or all of these. So when a person who has a lot of money falls sick, and it may be a terminal disease, at that time they realize, all my money has no value. Cannot save me. And what is under their feet is the ideologies that a person stands on. Different people have different ideologies. One of the ideologies is, if you work hard, you become very successful. It's not a strong ideology, because there are many people who don't work hard at all and they're very successful. And there are some persons who work hard like asses and are never successful, in the sense that they can barely make their ends meet. But dedication is required, no doubt. Or the other philosophy is Mayavad. Everything is one. And then there is fear at the right time. So in this world, in everyone's life, there are challenges, adversities to show us that we are actually very fearful, but we have been living in a fool's paradise thinking, actually I'm not afraid. When they come face to face with fear, so the only thing that makes a person fearless is when they have the opulence of Krishna's shelter. And that begins when bhakti starts to arise. And finally, gopta yadunam, that we feel protected by Krishna. So the devotee's natural language is, you know, the something situation is going to, we'll see Krishna's protection. I feel Krishna's protection. Somehow or the other, Krishna's protecting. So these four things the demigods are saying. So they are saying, Bhavita Tavatmaja, that Krishna will appear as your son. All these four things and four categories of persons will be completely joyful and thrilled. So please don't be worried. Please don't worry. Don't be sad or fearful. Amazing days are manifesting for you. So, any thoughts, comments? Suggestions, advice, criticism, flaws.
Hare Krishna. So you described that there are four things happens when Krishna appears. And the first thing you describe is that demigod feels auspiciousness. And you compare that auspiciousness with the Rupa Goswami's definition of auspiciousness. But the Rupa Goswami's definition of auspiciousness is followed by the Anya Abhilashita Shunyam.
So, sorry?
The Rupa Goswami's definition is followed by Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. So the auspiciousness filled by demigod is the same auspiciousness filled by the...
No, not that. The auspiciousness that the demigods are speaking about is they will get to witness Krishna's pastimes.
Special quality of the devotees, they want to see the Krishna's pastimes.
So demigods are not any less devotees. We sometimes refer to them as mixed devotees, but when we use the word mixed, we somehow think of them as mixed like us. They're not mixed like us. They're mixed in a different sense, that because they're very powerful persons. But you notice Krishna always manifests for them again and again and again. This is, prayers are being led by Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Varuna, Vayu. And in different times, he comes for Indra's protection.
Thank you. So why then demigods pray to come to the earth planet, to take a birth in the earth planet?
Right. So they have also been receiving instructions, no? Krishna says in chapter 1, all of you take birth in the Yadu dynasty. And all your wives should also take birth in the different families. So, they're not making a selfish prayer. It's only for us. They're saying, Lokam Jagan Mangalam. Everyone, including ourselves, everyone will feel auspicious. Krishna's presence. Krishna's present any time, every time. Right? But we don't feel it because that presence isn't manifested to us. So now that presence is being manifest for them in a very, very direct sort of way. So it's amazing. So this, they're talking about Vapu association now. Previously it was Varni, now it's Vapu. Both are amazing. Vapu is amazing.
So the demigods are coming on the earth planet, and the prayers are because Krishna wants them to be in Yadu dynasty. But there is a verse in Bhagavatam which says that demigods are seeking a life in the earth planet because the intensity of prayer on the earth planet is much more powerful to take them back to Godhead compared to the heavenly planets.
Alright, so what's the inconsistency? Are their prayers not intense enough? I can't judge that. The prayer is there in the Bhagavatam, so it is definitely intense enough that it made it into the Bhagavatam. It is intense enough that they have come, and even before Krishna, as soon as he is manifest in the womb, they are all surrounded that place and welcoming the Lord. This is part of proper etiquette as well. It's not like any less intense. That is a different context in which it says, at least my understanding, that the heavenly planets are generally so comfortable that there is not intensity. Janmaishwarya Shuta Shribhir Edamana Madha Puman Naiva Arhati Abhidhatum Vai. The intensity is not there when life is comfortable. On planet Earth, it's not so comfortable. Because the sense of death is so dramatic. And the heavenly planets, death is not like that. The disease here is very dramatic. It's not like that there. Jara, old age, is not like, they don't get old. They're called amaras. They don't get old and, you know, hair graying up and teeth falling down and back hurting. And it's not like that. So then naturally the intensity here is like, wow, because a lot more dangerous in that sense. It's so much more dramatic and intense. So one who's enjoying the pleasures of the heavenly realms, they can't make an intense offering. These demigods are now making an intense offering because even in that condition, Kamsa has distressed them like anything. Hiranyakashipu, he was somewhere in Mandara mountain meditating, right? But the fire from his head became so intense that the demigods felt the heat. Exceptionally hot today. What's going on? Oh, Hiranyakashipu. Or Vayu, who was not moving around when Dhruva was becoming very heavy. There was no movement of air. They couldn't breathe. So then even in the paradise, they had some distress. So the prayers became intense. Kamsas, when the earth gets burdened, the distress is for the demigods also, right? Because no one's going to perform yajnas. And without yajna, how will the demigods get nourishment? So they are in distress. Right? They are in very much in distress. Yeah, he's turned it on now. He has turned it on now. It's a little fast. Can you speak slowly and loudly, please?
So the reason I raised this question, because the day before I was hearing a lecture from Jayadvat Maharaj, and the Maharaj was saying that heavenly planets is like a special offer, a trip to a Goa, a trip to a Hawaii in $799.99 for 4 days and nine nights and something like that.
Right.
So it's difficult to answer.
That is true. In the general sense, yes, it is true. Let's say you're in Hawaii, okay, not you, someone is in Hawaii. There is volcanic eruption right now. Lava flowing right from the mountains onto the roads. Is it distressful? Is a person's prayer going to be intense at that time? Yeah. But otherwise when the sun is amazing, the weather is awesome, fruits are nice, beach is amazing, and the people on the beach are even more amazing, they're vacationing. So that's general and this is specific. Right now they're inconvenienced by Kamsa. Yes, Prabhu in the back.
Prabhu, I just wanted to appreciate how you go through the Sanskrit words and elaborate on them. I thought that was very nice. I really liked your class.
Whatever there is, Prabhupada's mercy. No, I haven't said anything new or different, but thank you.
And I just had one question when you spoke about Sakshad Bhagavan.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you said that the pivotal verse in the Bhagavatam is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. And so and you know, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj is also quoting that to you know, point out that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. And so I've heard also different devotees in different sampradayas argue this point that
Vishnu.
It's just one verse. This is what I've heard them say, that your whole philosophy is based on just one verse out of, you know, millions of verses in all the Vedas and Puranas. And so, just curious if you had any thoughts on that sort of comment.
I feel, because generally Vaishnavas, this argument sometimes is among Vaishnavas, it depends on where you're standing and looking at it. So for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we accept the Bhagavatam as the Mahagrantha, and the other Vaishnava lines accept another body of work, another Purana, either Vishnu Purana or Padma Purana, as the pivotal body of work. So everyone agrees that Lord Vishnu or Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But each person sees Krishna according to their disposition. And so for those who are in that particular rasa of Aishwarya or Vaibhav, for them the Lord is the powerful Vaikunthapati. That's okay. For us, because we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who revealed Krishna in his Vrindavan feature, for us we see it from that. But it's not inconsistent. It's just what rasa we stand in. So one of the, glorifying verses, if you will, or enlightening verses, when Krishna with the tusk of Kuvalaya Pida is walking into the arena, a whole range of people see the same person differently. The yogi saw Paramatma, the impersonalist saw this light, Brahman, walking in. The damsel saw charming, handsome boy. The other boy saw their friend. The older people saw them as their little boy, Krishna. Same person. Just depends on where you're standing and looking at. So it's not inconsistent. It's just from the bhava perspective, it's fine. In fact, Krishna and Vishnu are one and different at the same time, isn't it? Prabhupada was asked, what is the difference between Lord Krishna and Vishnu? I said, no difference. When Krishna goes to the office, he is Vishnu. They are not two persons different. They are two features of the same person. So it depends on where you are standing and looking at. In the office, same person is called Mr. So-and-so or their first name. At home, they are called something else, but it doesn't change them. We are saying Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Yashoda will say, I don't care what God and all that. I need to tie him down. Bhagavan will say, how can you do like that? Right? So where are we standing? You brought up the word Sakshat. Another, I just realized that there is a fascinating aspect to the word Sakshat as well. One of the words to describe the Lord is Adhokshaja. Adhokshaja means one who is beyond the purview of the eyes or the senses. Adha Akshaja. Adha means one who pushes down. That means your ability to see Krishna, he won't allow. So Adhokshaja is now Sakshat. One who cannot see by your senses and perceive is now going to be perceived by your eyes and senses. Isn't that thrilling? Of course. It's fascinating. Yes.
Same verse, the implication that you explained, that, you know,
why Krishna comes over and over and over is indicated in that, in Driyani Vyakulan Lokam, that comes for the protection of Indra. And there the demigods acknowledging that, you know, in these beautiful prayers. And of course, Indra should be there, you imagine, you know, I mean, it's so significant, his position and the Lord's reciprocation. Now, quite inconceivable, we hear in the passage of Govardhan Lila that the reason of Indra's blindness was his pride. Now, this, I mean, obviously, I don't know if the time feature there is different, but it's 7 years. Maybe it's a different, you know, but regardless, it's not so much time, and you imagine that the demigods are so, they're basking in this auspiciousness of being able to see Krishna's pastimes, and there is Krishna, and then, you know, performing wonderful activities before Govardhan Lila, and still pride blinds you to Krishna, and you know the way Indra described Krishna is that, who is this impudent use that word, you know, boy, you know, that they, because of the following this is impudent boy, they deserve to be destroyed. So, you know, it's quite inconceivable and I'm not sure, I mean, if you can comment on this, it's not, I mean, obviously it's the Lord's pastimes.
Yeah.
But it's not the same that the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they don't see Krishna, they get blinded by yoga maya. So, you know, Mother Yasoda say, well, you know, the universal form, blah, 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 I may have something, you know, don't know, this is my boy, you know. But it's not the case with Indra, I think. No?
Well, why only Indra? Even Lord Brahma, who's way above. Excuse me. There are levels of analysis or meanings for that thing. I don't know all, but one is definitely, this is what distinguishes the pure devotees of Braja from the mixed devotees. They're not any less, but they're just mixed. And the mixture shows up in very specific instances when, right? So as long as everything is wonderful, the prayers are super. But the mixture is, when one's own false ego is attacked, what happens? That's what it shows. That although Krishna comes again and again for Indra, and Indra is amazing, he's an amazing person, he's not ordinary, he has performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas without any flaw. It's not easy. He's a very amazing personality. Yet, there is that sense of pride. That's the distinction. And Krishna addresses different people's pride differently depending upon their intensity of relationship with him. I'll give you two more examples. Indra's pride, Krishna pretty much, we could say, embarrassed him by lifting the Govardhan on the pinky of the left hand. The significance is that left hand is usually considered like moochy or insignificant. That's why in deity worship now we use both of the right hand. The left is considered moochy. The pinky of that is the most insignificant of the insignificant. And Govardhan was lifted on the pinky of the left to tell Indra, you may be whoever you are, but you're not even worth the pinky of the left hand, like that. So it was the answer or response from Krishna to Indra's pride is embarrassment. The response of Krishna to Lord Brahma's, if you want to say pride in one sense, because he was testing this, who's this mystic person, was bewilderment. To bewilder in Lord Brahma is like the biggest, Lord Brahma can never become bewildered per se. So that's his response. For Sudama, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that Krishna gave abundance of wealth because Sudama was proud of his being poor. One can be proud by being poor also. Oh, I'm so poor. So to break that pride, he gave him so much wealth. And in the Rasa Leela, as soon as the gopis thought, so his response to, I guess, Sudama's pride, who am I to speak on it, but you get the idea, on his pride was completely different, to break it with money. You know, one might say, oh, Krishna, break my pride like that, it would be really wonderful, give me a lot of money. And the gopis, when they were in the Rasa Leela, and they were thinking, oh, Krishna's only mine, he addressed that pride by becoming invisible. That is the most painful thing for the gopis. They don't care for money, they don't care for embarrassment. You already embarrassed them previously, right? By taking away their clothes and asking them to walk out of the river with their hands raised like this. What can be more embarrassing? So embarrassment is not a problem for them. What is the punishment? Cannot see Krishna. So he addresses in different ways depending on the intensity of their relationship with him. So that's one. Second, this is Krishna's pastimes. The pastimes is, it's not just enjoyment but many lessons for future. And the lessons is, please be careful with going up in position in the world. You may become proud that the very hand that feeds you, one can bite it. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam, and then he's challenging that very same Krishna. That's another lesson. How to be careful and cautious and not get carried away by one's position in the world or whatever whatever the world is. And the third lesson is Krishna's Maya Shakti is the most amazing Shakti. And throughout the Bhagavatam, it doesn't matter who's speaking to whom. When Devahuti is speaking to Kapila, when Vidura is inquiring from Maitreya, right? It doesn't matter what conversation, the question they all ask is, how does Krishna's, this Vishnu Maya work? Even what is one of those 12th canto personalities, Chiranjeevas, who sees Krishna on a banyan leaf? Markandeya Rishi, his first question, I want to know how your Maya potency works. So Krishna is demonstrating, this is how Maya works. Even Indra, even Lord Brahma, very powerful, including Lord Shiva for a moment. So now this Maya Shakti, above him is Krishna. Right? Krishna says in 7th chapter, Daivi hi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante. So one can be very tiny and insignificant and can be protected from that maya, while on the other hand one can be very big and significant and cannot be protected by that maya. So Prahlad Maharaj, I'm going to end with this. Prahlad Maharaj gives a verse in his prayers to Lord Narasimhadev. Why is it that a big, massive elephant that is in a river gets carried away by the river, but a tiny fish, nothing happens to it? It's because the elephant is fighting the river and the fish has taken shelter of the river. So the waves don't bother the fish, but that waves can push an elephant away. So it's not how big one is, it's not how significant or strong one is, how much shelter they have taken of Krishna. So many lessons. I'm sure there are many more lessons that I'm not aware of. It's a mix of all of that. So that's the thrill and adventure. There is so much in this. There is suspense, there is thrill, there is adventure, there is fighting, there is action, there is drama, romance. The whole package is about to unfold. And never ever seen by anyone. For the first time ever. Right? On one day of Brahma. No one has seen it before that. Who remembers the previous day of Brahma anyway? So this is never seen, never, never seen. Ever. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
It's on in the ups position and on in the...
Something. I think
it takes a few minutes.
Oh.
Discipline, proper discipline.
Wow.
If you're not proper behavior.
Because over the summer,
sadhana. It's scary, like, it brings suffering.
You are very much inclined to Krishna bhakti, but your impression, because of previous impression, you start getting offensive and criticizing your staff and you fall. That means even if you have a lot of affection,
bhakti doesn't go away. It's clouded. It's there. It's like we have a lot of money in the bank and the PIN number is lost. So money is there, you just get access. That's what offense does. It's completely makes it inaccessible.
I heard that by offense itself, it becomes too big.
But you said the bhakti lata. Thank you.